At the Knitting Factory, it's Ariel Pink and Chairlift. Robert Ross will be at the Cornelia Street Cafe at 10 p.m. and Rory Kelly and friends at Club Europa. And here's today's quote of the day by W.C. Fields. If at first you don't succeed, try again, then quit. There's no use in being a damn fool about it. If you want to see more shows, go to our website at WUSB.FM and click on the Concert Billboard link. Thank you for listening to the Concert Billboard and to WUSB in Stony Brook.
And you are listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, where the time is 6:03, and that means it's time, well, it's more or less time, for Off the Wall. All right, well, obviously, this is not the theme to Off the Wall. This is the theme to Brain Damage, a show we did many years ago. You know, Spiny Norman, if you're out there in your car driving away from this place, I called you up about an hour or so ago. I was very flustered. I was in traffic. I didn't have my theme with me. I asked for one thing, one simple thing. Could you get the theme to Off the Wall? And instead, you got me the theme to Brain Damage. I mean, it's the right artist, but the wrong song, the wrong album, the wrong decade, in fact. I asked for one... Actually, I asked you for about seven things, and everything else you pretty much got spot on, but... I gotta tell you, man, this is the wrong show. It's the wrong theme. It gives a totally different ambiance to the place, and it's not the one I'm trying to put forth, you know? We're just gonna have to make do. I'm sorry, folks. This is gonna be sort of a patch-together program. We're gonna need your help to get through this hour, so please help us out here. It's Off the Wall. You see, none of that's supposed to happen on Off the Wall. Those are all brain damage things. Playing with the phone and whatnot. We're supposed to have gotten past that, you know? We're supposed to have grown up and gone into new things. And here I am getting pulled right back into the 1990s. Thank you, Spiny. Thank you so much. And probably the worst part about this is that the theme to Brain Damage actually ran 70 minutes long, 70. So it made it very easy to kind of relax and let the music take over occasionally. But we only have the first part of this here, which means this is all going to be over in a minute. And then I'm going to be left to my own, so... It gives the illusion of brain damage, but it's not. It's different.
Reach Stony Brook University. Business hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If this is an emergency and you have to reach University Police, press 1 now. For the University Hospital, press 2. For the Stala Center for the Arts, press 3. For the Indoor Sports Complex, press 4. For the Student Union, press 5. For campus residents, press 6.
Yeah, the effect's lost. We ran out of theme. This works when there's a theme behind you, but there's no theme anymore. So it just
reached Stony Brook.
Yeah,
University.
It sounds bare and empty now.
Hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday.
What happens when she just keeps going?
If this is an emergency and you have to reach University.
What if it's an emergency? You have a rotary phone. What do you press then, huh?
University Hospital. Press 2.
Okay, nobody knows. Nobody has the answer to that, and I'm being ignored here.
Indoor Sports Complex. Press 4.
Why would you want to call the Indoor Sports Complex? I don't understand that.
Press 6.
Yeah, I'm going to call the main number and press this button to call the indoor sports. What if you want the outdoor sports complex?
Thank you for calling.
Bye. Okay, what if you want to call a tennis court or something? All these questions I'll never get answers to. Good evening. Good evening. It's Emmanuel Goldstein here with Off the Wall, believe it or not, not Brain Damage. And this is what's known as a nightmare show. Nightmare show is basically when, well, you know the dream where you wake up and you're in the middle of your physics test or something and you haven't studied and maybe you're in your underwear too or... things like that, or any number of things that could happen in a dream where you just find yourself in a situation where you're completely unprepared and not ready, and you want to be somewhere else. That's what happened here. And it's not really, well, it is my fault, but it's not entirely my fault. I just got stuck in a place, and I couldn't get out of it easily. I was in the city, and I accidentally made some other errands I probably shouldn't have made. And then I wound up in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is the undoing of me every single time. I'm convinced Brooklyn has been created simply to frustrate people and get them lost. I'm serious. Every single time I wind up in that place, I just wind up driving down streets I'm not supposed to go down, and it's not a grid. It's not even like Queens. It's certainly not like Manhattan. And you can drive for many, many hours sometimes and not see a familiar street. And go through all sorts of different communities. It's wonderful. You see all kinds of nice things. You really do. But if you're trying to get somewhere in a hurry, which I was actually trying to get to where the theme was and where the entire show was, because I spend several days solid putting together the shows. I don't know if people realize this. And it's all prepared, but it's not in a place I can get to. I had to make a choice, either go to where the show is before coming here and then not do the show because I'd be too late to get here, or come here without the show in my hands, just whatever might be in my head, which isn't very much at the moment, except for a lot of bitterness towards Brooklyn. But, you know, it's okay. It's fine. It was a lovely day to take a nice, slow traffic ride through the streets of Brooklyn and see every single traffic light turn green, yellow, and red in a car with no air conditioning that's over 15 years old. That's fine. That's fine. It was one of those days that you just have to live through to appreciate. And I guess you're being taught some kind of a lesson in the end, which, since the day is not yet over, I haven't yet been taught the lesson. But I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. Saw some interesting things today in Manhattan. Guess what I saw? I saw a fake Mr. Softy truck. Now, this might not seem like a big deal. I've seen fake Mr. Softy trucks almost all the time. They're the trucks that look like Mr. Softy trucks, but they're like Captain Softy. Or something crazy like that. But this truck was different. It was playing the Mr. Softy song. Yeah, and there's a whole big lawsuit going on about this. About the Mr. Softy song. Fake Mr. Softy Trucks are playing that anthem. Now, I don't know if people have heard this. I'm actually using the internet right now, and I'm going to try and see, we couldn't do this during brain damage. I'm going to try and get on the internet and see if I can find audio for the Mr. Softy song. And then if you're in some part of the world where you've never heard it, then you will know for sure just what it is that it sounds like. It's, yes, the jingle of Mr. Softy's. Okay, all kinds of stories here. Mr. Softy threatens to break my kneecaps. Yeah. Apparently there's a lot of bitterness towards, and then here's a cell phone. You can get the Mr. Softy song as a cell phone, ringtone, that is. Okay, but, you know, I don't know how to, actually get this as a ringtone, as something I can play on the radio. And I don't think we have it in our library, unfortunately. But anyway, the point is, I heard the song, it was coming from a fake truck, and I realized then that the real Mr. Softy would be really upset by this. Mr. Softy, of course, is an ice cream truck, I don't know if I made that clear. But that was, I won't say that's the highlight of being in Manhattan today, but it certainly was one of the things that I remembered. Also, my car almost got towed away by the Children's Television Workshop. Well, I don't know if they're the ones doing it anymore. Do you know they're making The Electric Company, the old kids show that used to be on PBS many years ago, they're redoing it. They're making it again. Now, we all know Sesame Street. I don't know how many of us know The Electric Company. It was kind of more of a mod version of Sesame Street. It was only half an hour long, and it had a lot more music, and it was pretty cool. And it didn't last as long, and obviously it's not on anymore, but they have rejuvenated it, and it's coming back. But for some reason, on the street that I parked, there were these little cones, and the cones said that if your car is parked here on Tuesday between these hours, you will be relocated to the nearest legal parking space. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this. In New York City, we have filming all the time, whether it's Law and Order or Sex and the City or any number of movies that are being made. They're always closing streets and putting up these little notices. And it's funny because lots of times in the notices, for some reason, they give you a plot outline. This is the story of a man who moves to New York City from a desolate town in Iowa and finds love for the first time through a newspaper vendor or something crazy like that. It's like you really need to know when you're trying to park your damn car what the plot is about that these people are asking you to move for. Well, it's a crime drama. I guess I'll respect that and I'll put my car on the other street. Come on. You know, you don't really need to know all that information. I'd be happy just knowing, okay, you know, they're making a film here and they'd like you to move. And that's the other thing. If you don't move, if you put your car there, you don't get a ticket. You just get your car relocated to the nearest legal parking space. And I don't know where that is. Nobody knows where that is. And I was just wondering, what would happen if I came out and my car was gone and I don't know my license plate? Does anybody really memorize their license plate? I used to, but I've been through so many cars, I don't have it. I don't have it in my head. So I wouldn't even know where to begin to describe what it looked like. I'd probably get the color. I could probably get the make and model, but I don't know if they keep that information. And then somebody would have to tell me where it is, and I have to trek across town to get my car back. I imagine that's how it is. But that's never happened. This particular case, I wasn't sure if my car was going to be moved because they had these cones up and down the street. And there's always one guy that has a cone on top of his car, and that's the guy that's in charge. And invariably, when you look, the guy will be asleep. He'll be asleep in his car, whether it's Con Edison or some kind of movie production or construction or something like that. That guy is the person that's supposed to tell you not to put your car there. But, of course, he couldn't tell me that since he was fast asleep, and I really didn't feel like moving, and I knew I wasn't going to get a ticket. And the worst comes to worst, the people making The Electric Company are going to put my car someplace in the city, and I'd have to track it down and figure it out. It would be sort of a challenge and an adventure. But none of that happened. Came out today. It was fine. So that's pretty much all the adventures I had, getting lost in Brooklyn, seeing a pirate Mr. Softy, and almost having my car towed away by a bunch of people making a kids' television show. And that's it. That's all I got. The rest, folks, is going to be up to you now, because this is the first show that I've been back on the air since the Hope Conference. Last week, I could not make it. I tried. I really did. And this week almost ended up the same way. I made it into the studio literally 4 minutes before the show started. Every week, no matter what time I start, I seem to always make it into this place 4 minutes before the show starts. But this time, an hour and a half ago, I was cursing traffic in Brooklyn. So no matter what, no matter how much preparation I make, I always seem to wind up in the same boat. So that's just, I guess, my fate, my lot in life. Last week, though, was a bit more adventurous. That was 2 days after the conference ended. And I have to say, I don't know how many of you made it out to the conference. And, you know, we're going to take some phone calls, and you guys can tell me about that. If you heard it or went there or saw it on the Internet or anything like that, I'd like to hear your experiences. But if you've ever been to a conference like Hackers on Planet Earth, you realize how completely draining it is. Just as an attendee, it's incredibly draining. We had four tracks of almost nonstop activity, and that's just upstairs. We had all kinds of things going on downstairs, from lockpicking workshops to hacker spaces to Segway rides to an addictive substance being sold to various people, and all kinds of other fun things that you could only see at this conference. And I guess I should also point out that this was the last hope, the last Hackers on Planet Earth conference. And I realized soon after that so many people had been confused by that name and by all the darkness that had been surrounding the conference, the tombstone being our logo, and the funeral music, and people dressed in black, and of course the funeral caskets that were in the front of the rooms with the flowers on top of it, occasionally people bursting into tears and things like that. And I realize now that all that could have been interpreted, playing songs about death at the end of the shows and for the last couple of months, yeah, it could have been interpreted as kind of ominous. And, that was unintentional. That's not what we were at all trying to do. We just kind of thought it was cool. And we were playing interesting music and wearing dark clothing and carrying caskets. Carrying caskets is fun. Try that. Try walking up 7th Avenue carrying caskets. You get attention. I'm not sure which gets you more attention, riding a Segway at high speeds down 7th Avenue or carrying caskets. I'm going to go for carrying caskets. I think that gets you more attention. It doesn't happen very often. You see imbeciles on Segways occasionally, but you very rarely see people carry. And you don't know what's in the casket. If anything is in the casket, you don't want to bump into it. You want to give the people leeway. And you also want to act somewhat respectful, even though you have no idea what's really going on. So, yeah, we had that. Of course, the name of the conference, The Last Hope. No, we didn't mean it. Oh, boy. We didn't mean it that way, the final hope. No. That is one interpretation of the word. And I realize this now. Last does mean final, the no more, the last one, yeah. I wish people had mentioned this to me, that they were so concerned about this over the last year. But last also means the most recent. You know, like, did you hear the last show? Did you hear the last address by our beloved leader, President Bush? Have you heard the last thing that he just said? You know, things like that. And that's how we meant it, the Latin, because now we're referring to it as the last hope. Did you go to the last hope, the most recent one? And the next one will be called the next hope. It's pretty simple. I mean, you know, if you had only asked me, you could have avoided all of this confusion, controversy, and despair. Yes, I know, there was despair. There was gnashing of teeth and all that. But you really have yourselves to blame. All right? We try to be clear. We try to be upfront with things here. And, you know, it was even in the program. There was even a big hint in the program. Yeah, I wonder how many people actually took the time to decode it. Tell us tomorrow night on Off the Hook. I want to know if anybody actually decoded that. The big, massive hint that we had in the program for The Last Hope. Yeah, I'll bet nobody did. People were just too busy going to talks and having fun. Well, yes, yeah, so I realize it's going to be a little confusing when the next hope comes. Right now, we're in a period where it works, because we can talk about The Last Hope and refer to the one that just took place, and we can talk about The Next Hope and refer to the one that's taking place in 2010. And yes, at the Hotel Pennsylvania, because we intend to make sure it stays standing. And I think it will, as long as the economy keeps taking a nosedive. But after that, after 2010, I'm beginning to realize that this is going to turn into a linguistic nightmare because, well, when you refer to the last hope in, say, 2011, are you referring to the next hope? Are you referring to the last hope, the one that just happened? And then when you refer to the next hope, meaning the one that happens in 2012, are you referring to the one that just happened? Or are you referring, you know, it's really going to get to be messy, and I don't know of a way out of this. So, yeah, we've sort of backed ourselves into a corner on this, and I guess we should have thought it out a little bit better than that. But in any event, the conference was a ton of fun. We all had a great time. It was amazing seeing 3,000 of our closest friends showing up from all over the world, literally. And I've heard nothing but good things. Seen all sorts of pictures, heard all kinds of stories. We'll be putting the audio up very soon. We're working on it right now, in fact, and the videos will follow. And I think this was our best one by far. I really do. We had more talks than ever. It went extremely smoothly on all ends. Our security team was incredible. Our AV team really got it right. And we had the best speakers in the world. And our attendees were extremely well-behaved, well-mannered, inquisitive, just exactly what you'd want at a hacker conference. We had Adam Savage from Mythbusters, who came down and gave a talk, and he said this was the most incredible audience he had ever seen. He had so much fun. And similar remarks from Stephen Levy and Kevin Mitnick and so many other people who spent a lot of time putting things together to present to this audience. So, yeah, like I said at the conference, we'd be crazy not to want to keep doing this. It really is a blast. But, boy, does it take a lot out of you. Oh, my God. I mean, as attendees, yeah, you can sort of experience some of it. But as people that are involved in organizing it and running it, I mean, that's just, wow. It's, I don't know what it is that keeps you going, but something does. Something just keeps you moving forward, and you can survive on maybe 3 hours sleep a night, sometimes less than that. And you still have energy. You still have this level of excitement that you want to see the next thing happen, and you want to make sure it goes just right. And you're trying to talk to all the people that are around. And in my case in particular, I'm always being chased by reporters, and we just had the book come out, The Best of 2600, that just was released for the conference, and I had to sign all these copies, and you know, I tried to sign as many as I possibly could. I'm sure there'll be other opportunities for me to sign books in the future, but boy, you know, when you're just sitting there and there's just this endless line of people wanting you to sign books, you try to keep a positive outlook, but sort of wonder to yourself if it's ever going to end, if you're ever going to be able to stand up again and just walk around. And then when it finally does end, you know, keep in mind we've been preparing for this for months, many months. When it finally does end, you have to, of course, make sure everything gets back to where it came from, all the equipment that was rented, all the people that you're putting up and making sure get around town safely. And once that's all done, you start to relax, but you never really can completely relax until maybe a couple of weeks have gone by. That has just started now. That process has just begun. And last week at this time, I thought I'd be able to make it back in time for the show. I really did. But a whole series of events transpired to make that impossible. We were still returning equipment. We had to bring the caskets back. Yes. You have to return caskets when you borrow them. They want them back. And in this particular case, we had to use a 2600 van to bring them back to Brooklyn. And in so doing, basically, that's a bit of a commitment, taking the 2600 van to Brooklyn. You have to battle traffic and all that kind of thing. And right at that time, that's when I got word that Jello Biafra was having trouble with his hotel room. Actually, I knew this was going to be happening, that his hotel room only lasted until Tuesday, and that we had to find him another place. And I had found him another place. Except we didn't hear from him until it was until the van was already in Brooklyn. And there was no way to actually hook him up with a new place that he was going to be staying in. So that meant that we had to turn around and go back into Manhattan from Brooklyn. And this was right about the time where traffic was starting to build up. It was in the afternoon. And so that meant that I had to make the call. I had to make the call to Spiny Norman last Tuesday and say, "Spiny, I know you don't want to hear this, but you won't be seeing me today." And it was a tough call to make. It was a tough call for him to receive. And it was a tough call for all the listeners. But it had to happen. It was destiny. It was fate. We turned the van around, and we were going to meet Jello, who was coming down. We gave him a street address on 8th Street in Manhattan, and somehow he heard A Street. There is no A Street in Manhattan, and he got into this big argument with the cab driver, who was so incensed at the fact that he was insisting there was an A Street that he dropped him in front of a police station and told him to go to prison. And drove off with his 50 cents in change, which annoyed him to no end, and I could see why. But that kind of added to the frustration of people trying to get together and make sure plans weren't completely fouled up, which inevitably they wound up being. Now, this in turn led to us having to reschedule other things, and I eventually wound up out on the island later on that night, but I had to go back into the city the next day to do Off the Hook, and my smart car was already in the city. Somehow the smart car wound up in the city throughout all the confusion. I had the van and the smart car, so it made sense to take the train into New York so that I wouldn't have two vehicles in the city, and I could just simply drive the smart car back out here afterwards. Well, when you're dealing with the Long Island Railroad, do not ever take anything for granted. And number one on that list of things not to take for granted is their own schedule. I was waiting for the 405 train out of Port Jefferson. That's a city right next to Stony Brook. 405, yes. I was there. I was there on time. I was there early. 405 came. They have this nice big digital sign. It says 405. To Penn Station, on time. And that was nice. Except that it was 4:05. It was 4:05 p.m., and there was no train. Yet, they were telling us that it was on time. And this is the first stop. It's not like the train has to come from someplace. It's the first stop. They just have to bring the train there from the yard and start moving. It's all they have to do. And they didn't do that. 4:10, and the 4:05 is still on time. And not there. At 4:15, it was no longer on the board. It was gone. It had never been there, but it was gone. And there's nobody there to ask. See, they got rid of all the people. They replaced them with machines. So all you get are these automated announcements and little displays on screens and ticket machines. And they all just sit there and tell you that everything is okay when everything is not okay. Everyone's milling around the station. I'm really the only one that seems to be getting upset by the whole thing. I'm asking people, how did they mess this up? All they have to do is have a train here, or at least tell us what's going on. No one's telling us anything. And I've got to be in New York. The thing is, this train takes over 2 hours to get to Manhattan. I don't know why. It takes a car about an hour and 15 minutes to drive, even in traffic. But the train takes over 2 hours. So getting to Penn Station after 6:30 with a show on Wall Street that starts at 7, not leaving me a whole lot of time to get there. And if the train is missing on top of everything else, I'm not going to get there on time. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. So I had to make a call being a judgment. But I also had to make a phone call once I made the judgment. So I had to make a call, which led to me making a call. And when I made that call, the phone call, I asked a friend to please take me back to where my other car is, my ancient car, the car I drove today, the car that's almost old enough to go drinking. Yeah, it's amazing when cars last a long time. You know, at some point that car is going to have 250,000 miles on it. Incredible. Take that car into the city somehow, battle rush hour traffic, and that was really the only option left. You see, they don't have trains that go into Manhattan after a certain hour from Long Island. They all come out from Manhattan, but there's only one train, and if you don't get that one, you won't get another one for several hours. And since this one was missing in action, there was no real opportunity to use an alternative. So the only other option to me was to do what I didn't want to do and drive a second car into Manhattan. And since I had another person with me, I was able to make use of the HOV lane. Yes, here in, on Long Island, high occupancy vehicle means two people or more. To me, high occupancy means four or five or something like that, but I guess anything other than one is considered a crowd or just a lot of people. But whatever. I made use of that. I did amazing time into Manhattan. 70, 75 miles an hour the whole way. The speed limit here is 55. And you're passing cops that are just sitting there, and they see you going 70, 75. Everybody's going that speed. It's not like you're doing anything nobody else is doing, and it's perfectly okay, apparently. I'm not sure what they're waiting for. Maybe somebody doing 80. Maybe that's it. We don't tolerate 80. 75, yeah, you can do that, but not 80 if the speed limit is 55. You know, the logic, the only way that I get through all this is to make sure that somebody else is on the road going faster than me. And as long as that's happening, and I don't look like a hot rod or something like that, then I think I'll be okay. I think I'll be all right. So I made it into Manhattan. Actually, it was great. It was incredible. All of the connections were made perfectly. I pulled into a parking space at 6:01, a parking space that became good at 6 p.m. Couldn't have timed it better. Ran to a subway, which was just pulling in, and that went to another subway I had to transfer to, which also just pulled in, and made it to the radio station at exactly the time I always make it to the radio station there, too. It was unbelievable. Like fate. Like, I always get to this place 4 minutes before the show. I always get to that place 10 minutes before the show. I don't know why the extra 6 minutes, but that's just the way it works. But now I had the problem I was trying to avoid of having two cars in Manhattan, and, you know, that's tough to deal with, because at some point you either have to take a train in or give your car to somebody else, and I opted for the latter, because I was with the person that actually owns the smart car being the Canadian version of the smart cars that are driving around now. This one is a diesel car. It's half a foot shorter than the ones they're selling in the States now. But it's had a few problems. Had a few problems lately. I think I've described them. Some gear issues where basically if you're stopped at a light, for instance, it'll suddenly lurch forward and you'll get three dashes instead of the gear number on the display, and you won't be able to move. You won't be able to move at all. It's very embarrassing and also very dangerous. And I've tried to get it fixed. I've taken it to various places in the States, even to the people who sell smart cars here in the States, and they can't figure it out. You know why? Because they don't have access to the computer. They need computer codes that their own company won't give them because they're in a different country. That's how insane it's gotten. You can't just be a mechanic anymore. You have to have access to the right computer codes. And if you want that access, you have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to get it. And there's just no incentive for these mechanics to do that because I'm the only person that's going to be using it. So they did the best they could, but they couldn't make any guarantees, and I had this feeling that the car was still kind of messed up, and, you know, good service in Canada would be what it needs. So I decided to let my friend from Canada take it back to Canada and have it looked at there. And boy, what an adventure that led to. Not for me. This time I found out about it the next day when he actually tried to drive the car back. Took a wrong turn. Instead of taking the thruway, he somehow wound up on the Cross Bronx Expressway, Route 95. And that, my friends, in any situation is always a nightmare. But in this particular situation, what happened was he was in the middle lane in the traffic that is always on that road. You could be on the Cross Bronx Expressway at 4 o'clock in the morning and it will be at a standstill for some reason, with trucks and buses and all sorts of things. And yes, that's where it happened to him, in the middle lane, with trucks and buses and cars and all sorts of angry people around. That's where the smart car died. And that's a pretty scary thing, especially if it's never happened to you before. I only heard accounts of this story after it happened, and I did get a panicky phone call. My friend doesn't have a cell phone. He had to borrow somebody else's cell phone Turns out somebody actually saw the car stop, got out of his car, helped my friend push it over to the side of the road, and as it turns out, also spoke French, which is my friend's native language, which I think is an incredible coincidence. So because of that, I was able to make contact, and he was able to push the car to the side of the road. Happened two more times before he actually got the thing back to Canada. So all of this is the result of a series of events from the end of hope. And right now my car is hopefully getting fixed in a foreign country. We're still recovering from the conference. Lots more stories are unfolding. But in the end, I think we all got through it. We all made it. We all had great fun. And we're all going to do it again. All right, and somehow I wound up speaking for about 40 minutes. I didn't mean to do that. I meant to have the listeners drive the show tonight because I have nothing to talk about. Really, I don't. Actually, you know what? I'm going to look at the news. Let me go into delay, all right? Can we do that? I'm going to go into delay. Hopefully I won't foul this up too badly. Every week I say that, I know, but all right, let's hear an ID, and then hopefully you'll hear my voice after that ID, and things won't get too confusing, but inevitably they will.
Hi, this is Rias of 18 from Korea, and you're listening to 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook.
So, okay, I'm back now, and it would be nice if just once I didn't have to check. And I had the kind of confidence that that told me that I actually did this properly without having to listen. But I can see that I made it. Okay, so fine. Our phone number, 631-632-WUSB. That's 631-632-9872. Like to hear from you insofar as your hope experiences or any experiences that you might have had in the last couple of weeks, and maybe tell me something I can discuss because I don't have anything in front of me. I'm looking at CNN right now because I have not even checked the news in the last couple of days. It's just been really busy with all sorts of other things running around, kind of glad not to be involved in what's happening in the world. And you know what? Our internet seems to be down. Our internet is, well, it's not loading, is it? It says transferring data from Turner.com. I guess that means it's connecting to it, but it's not actually, well, unless there's some major news story going on in the world, and everybody's going to CNN right now, well, we're getting name resolution, aren't we? Because it wouldn't know Turner.com, would it, if we didn't have internet at all? Okay, well, you see, this is where it really turns into a nightmare, because I'm trying to get information, I'm trying to get some kind of, you know what, I'm going to go to a different site. I'll go to NewYorkTimes.com. That's where the real news is. And see what's happening in the world. All right, and we have something. Let's see, Alaska senator is charged with failing to disclose gifts. Ted Stevens, oh my God, the internet guy. The internet is a series of tubes. It's not a truck. He has, he's been indicted. Oh my goodness, that is something. There's an earthquake in Southern California. 5.4 magnitude shook Southern California on Tuesday, but no immediate reports of injuries or structural damage. Incredible. Oh, we have phone calls. Let's, they'll be far more interesting than anything we have to say here. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, how you doing there, Emmanuel?
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Sable, from Long Island.
Ah, 567 Exchange.
Oh, actually, 631.
Well, 631 area code, 567 Exchange.
Okay.
Well, it is. I mean, that is Sayville, Bohemia, Central Office, number 5 ESS.
Actually, from a 244 exchange.
Well, that too.
I empathize with your problems with the Long Island Railroad, and I wanted to offer yourself and all the listeners some phone numbers when that does happen. They are really bad with those displays. They never know what the hell is happening.
Uh-huh, yes.
So, if your listeners would like to, and let me clear this, I'm looking in my cell phone right now. I can offer you guys some phone numbers.
Okay, yeah. Now, are these just the ones that end in LIRR that get you the stupid recording?
Right, right. But what you have to do is get the representative, and then you can either ask them more times than not. They don't know what the heck is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You ask for a supervisor. And once you get through to the supervisor, you can find out exactly what is happening with the trains.
Yeah, one thing I would have loved to have found out, and I don't think this is even possible, I don't think they have the technology, I would have liked to have found out what time that train actually did arrive and what time it finally got into Penn Station. And you know, in Europe you can do that, you can track trains, but here I don't think they would ever even write it down.
You know, something I would tend to disagree with you, because mm-hmm. they keep track of their on-time ratios, so they know, whether they let us know,
right.
story, but they do keep track of that stuff. Now,
well,
whether they would go with that, give you that information, I don't know. I've never done that because, you know, let's face it, once you get there, you say, mm-hmm. oh, thank God I'm here. And then you just forget about it, and then you just bitch to your friends about, oh, my God, the stupid railroad, yada, yada.
Let me just say, for the record, and this is for the record of all time, if anyone out there would like to do the research to find this out, I want this information. I want to know what time the 405 train on Wednesday, July 23rd, 2008, what time that train, the 405 from Port Jefferson, arrived in Penn Station. Now, it may take a week, it may take a month, it may take the rest of your life, but if you feel like doing the work and tracking down the actual time that train arrived, I'd be very grateful.
I'm certainly going to look into it.
Well, I'm not expecting you to, but I'm just saying, this is something, this show goes out all over the world. Many, many thousands of people eventually hear it, so I'm sure somebody out there is looking for something to do, and I just gave it to them.
There you go. But while I'm on the line with you,
yes.
can I give the listeners these two numbers?
Please, go ahead.
Okay, there's a 516 and a 631. I'll start with the 631 because that's where I'm coming from. 631-231 LIRR.
Let me guess the second one. 516-822 LIRR.
There you go.
Wow. How'd I do that?
You must have tried before.
I have to call those numbers all the time. The thing that really annoys me is that they default to voice now. And if you're in a noisy place like a train station, they can't make out anything you're saying.
Yeah.
So you have to scream a lot, and eventually they say, if you want to hit a touch tone, hit one. And then you can do that like the old days.
The way around that is not to say anything or put your phone on mute. If you don't answer for about 30 seconds, it automatically goes to a representative.
Uh-huh. Yeah, or if you just scream representative or a series of obscenities, that tends to get you someplace.
Yes, yes. Or you mumble something that mm-hmm. the computer just does not understand.
Uh-huh.
You just go, rah, 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 and it'll get you through to an operator.
Uh-huh. Maybe. Yeah, I've got to keep your fingers crossed on that. But where you are in the South Shore, I think you have better service than what we have here.
I don't know. I haven't compared because I just basically take the South Shore line in between a couple of stations here on Long Island. So I couldn't say.
Wow. Well, you definitely have experienced the frustration of riding the trains. And you know, I don't know why it has to be so bad. If it was a decent system, more people would use it. If it was cheaper, more people would use it. And if it was more frequent, you know, there'd be less cars on the road. And I think that's what people need, is to have good mass transit, less cars on the road. But when there's no trains going into New York from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 8 o'clock in the evening, that's not much incentive.
They do make it kind of tough. They do make it kind of tough.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us without a license, it's a godsend.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And I guess it's better than a lot of parts of the country that don't have any trains at all. But I just think that's something that's sad and needs to be fixed.
Well, hopefully someday.
Well, with $10 a gallon gas, I think it might be.
Yeah, sure. That'll do it. When we run out of oil and you know, people don't have gas for their cars. Yep.
Right. And these SUVs, though, they're still on the road. But
amazing.
I don't know for how much. Well, people, they don't want to give them up.
I know. And I'm sure you look at half of the idiots on the road driving SUVs. A former boss of mine got stuck in the snow with a four-wheel drive. I don't put it into four-wheel drive. Well, why the hell do you get the thing then?
Yeah. I don't understand that at all. I have my really ancient car is able to get through any kind of snowbank. And these massive SUV truck things can't. I don't understand that.
Unbelievable.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for your call and your insight.
Much.
And best of luck riding the trains.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. We have an open switchboard right now. We'd like to hear from those of you either local or far away. If you were part of the Hope Conference, by all means, call in. Tell us something about that. If you weren't and like to know what we're talking about, by all means, call in and ask. If there's something else you'd like to talk about, by all means, I have nothing here. I had to race to the station before I was able to pick up the show. Very badly timed. But I got here. I got here. That's the important thing. And thanks, Finding Norman, for leaving me what I asked you to leave me. All right. Let's take a phone call. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, hello?
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Shirley.
Shirley, out east.
Home, actually.
Okay, great. What's on your mind?
Not much. I'm just saying, I just discovered this show and your other show within the past couple weeks.
Wow.
And, I've lived on Long Island for like 12 years.
Uh-huh.
And, I never heard of your show until about 2 weeks ago. I stumbled on it stuck in traffic.
You just stumbled on it?
Yep.
Wow.
Fascinating stuff. I went back to the website that has all your, the other show on the other station.
Right. And we have another show before that, the one from the 1980s, 1990s.
Yes, I listened to a lot of those. I've been pulling a lot of late shifts, so I've been listening to those. Those have been pulling me through the evening.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. It sort of shows you how times have changed, how the attitudes have changed, how technology has changed. It's really interesting to take sort of a trip back into time.
Yeah, the 80s stuff is phenomenal. This week I listened to the MetroCard stuff.
Oh, yeah.
where you were buying your first MetroCard.
Uh-huh.
And, you were trying to figure out how much you had on it, and I kept on forgetting. I'm, like, yelling at my computer going, come on, you just check it out the thing, and then I look at the date, and I'm like, oh, it's a little silly.
Uh-huh. Well, so what else is on your mind tonight?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to let you know it's a really great show, and the old stuff is phenomenal. It's some really cool stuff.
Uh huh. Great.
It really, really insightful.
Well, it's good to know, and it's good to know people are out there on the eastern part of Long Island listening to both radio shows.
Yeah.
And I hope you stay a listener for a while.
There's plenty to go through on that website.
Okay. Well, I envy you having all that to go through.
Yeah, you had to do it all, right?
Yeah, I had to do it all, but it's good to actually enjoy listening and hear some things from the past.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your show.
All right, take care.
You do.
All right, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You are on Off the Wall.
Oh, yeah, neat. Hey, I don't know if you know this, but your stream, at least the stream, I don't know about...
Oh, don't tell me. The stream is down.
Stream's fine.
Oh, okay, then what? No, wait, let me guess. I sound like a chipmunk.
Oh, no, there's just a weird echo coming through.
A weird echo? Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if, I don't know what would be causing that.
I don't know either. It's like we're discovering, I don't know, nuclear chemistry or something. Every time, every week, we do another experiment here with a stream, and some other reaction happens. And either we sound like Donald Duck or the thing is delayed, or we're talking backwards. And every time we learn something new, and we're able to make a better stream for the future.
Well, amusingly enough, when you went into delay, my own internet connection went down at that very moment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Something went wrong somewhere. But
no, I must have caused that, because every action has an opposite and equal reaction, and that certainly sounds like one of them.
It's nowhere on your end. My ISP just sucks.
Mm-hmm. But, well, so does ours.
I was calling to say, I just picked up the book yesterday.
Oh, The Best of 2600, yes.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful cross-section of the history. I really only read about this stuff, most of it after it happened, and seeing it all written in a current-day context.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when we were putting this together, and the whole thing was put together in under a year, a bunch of us were just going through these old articles from the 80s and 90s, and it just seems so interesting to look at it all in perspective and see how it sort of transpired, how certain events took place and led to other events, led to organizations forming, and just the technology as it changed. The constant throughout all of this, surprisingly enough, the constant factor were the hackers themselves. They just existed from the beginning, and they're existing well into the future. And it was just sort of cool to realize that. And this week, actually, or was it last week, the book actually hit the shelves in the bookstores. And, I kind of forgot about it because I was sort of all caught up in the conference. And I guess when you have a book hit the shelves, that should be a big deal. I just sort of, it just sort of missed me. But, yeah, you're right. It's out there now.
It seems more like the the conference was really the big launch for it.
Yeah, it was. It was. We Wiley says they never sold a book that much than they did at the conference, and they were pretty surprised by that, and they completely sold out.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just like going back into old radio archives, like I listened to the first year of Brain Damage recently.
Uh-huh.
And you know, hearing about the 1988 elections as they happen is, I don't know, there's just something fascinating about it, and it's not something you get, you know, when you read about them after they happened or whatever.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you know, even if you know how it's going to turn out, just it's the ride that's interesting. It's how you got there. And just hearing people's perspectives, because we had so many call-ins back then in the 80s and 90s, and hearing people's perspectives, and maybe you even hear people that you know from that many years ago, from 20 years ago. You say, hey, that's my dad. You know, he was 18 at the time or something like that. It's just eye-opening.
Yeah, it's an interesting slice of history, like I was saying. But that's about all I got. So keep up the good work and have a good night.
Thanks. And where are you calling from?
Iowa,
cool. All right, thanks. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too. And we have open lines again. So we only have a couple of minutes left. So if there's people out there, 631-632-9872. Like to hear your perspectives, feelings, thoughts, concerns, anything like that. Of course, if you're already in the 631 area code, you don't need to dial that. This is one of these places you don't have to do that. 632-9872 would be what you would dial. Yes, the book is out. I guess the best thing to do, if you actually buy the book, that must be a good thing, right? I don't think that hurts. Let me just check. I'm going to hop onto Amazon right now. You know, if I had the show prepared, I'd be talking about this story I'm looking at right now in the New York Times about the Western journalists working at the main press center in Beijing saying they can't access the website for Amnesty International today, which is rather upsetting. And, you know, the Olympics are coming up. And you're going to see all kinds of controversy involving China and the human rights record and things like that. The Republican convention is happening. The Democratic convention is happening. It's all happening in the next month. So we have some exciting times ahead of us. And we'll be talking about them here on this particular radio show. As I buy time waiting for phone calls to come in, 631-632-9872. Again, we only have a couple of minutes, so if you don't call now, you're not going to get through. All right, I'm typing best of 2600 into Amazon. I just want to see what our rating is. It wasn't very good. At least I don't think it was very good. We were like number 2,000. And for, you know, for a new book, one that just came out, shouldn't we be, you know, I don't know how many new books have come out. We should be up there. We should be way up there. And I think it's fairly easy to change that if just a handful of people. Yeah, because look at this. According to Amazon, they only have 16 copies. And I don't think that's true. I think somebody's lying. Somebody's exaggerating. It's like when you go to the Internet Movie Database and you read the reviews of Terminator 10 or whatever film just came out, and you know it says 6 out of 7 people found this helpful. Is that really all the people that read this? All the people that read it and all the people that that ranked it? I don't think so. I think a lot more people do. Okay, we're at 1717 now, 1717 in the ranking. I'm going to check this in a few hours. We better be under 1,000, that's all I got to say. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, I'm on the air right now.
Yes, but you're very loud. Where are you calling from?
I'm sorry, I'm calling from my car.
Well, you have a very good phone. What kind of phone do you have?
I got a little Nokia.
I have a Nokia, too. It doesn't sound anything like this.
I'm on the internet radio. This Saturday, August 2nd, demonstration in New York City. Stop the war on Iran.
Oh, you know, I have to ask you something, all right? I hear this phrase all the time, stop the war on Iran. And this is not how we normally talk. We don't normally say stop a war on a country. We stop, you know, we say stop the war against a country. But with Iran, it's always on Iran. Have you noticed this?
It's just important that we see that we do not continue this horrible fiasco in the Middle East, and while they're preparing to launch an attack on Iran, we want the people to come out in droves, New York City this Saturday, and also at Hicksville train station.
Hicksville train station, that's a crossroads there. Okay.
What?
That's a crossroads, a train station where two branches meet, so that's a big train station.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, you ever ask somebody a question and they just they just don't answer. They just read what they're supposed to read. But, you know, that's, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm not trying to make light of the whole thing, but I just have noticed that that's what people say all the time. They always say, stop the war on Iran, and I can never figure out why that is. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I never heard stop the war on Iraq. You know, I never heard that phrase. It's just everyone's using the same phrase. I notice things like this. This is why I always get in trouble, because I always sort of veer away from the topic. All right, you know, since I didn't have an intro, I also don't have an outro. So I asked Spiny to leave me some possibilities, and he left me three records here. Pink Skull, Zeppelin 3. You know what, Spiny? That very first word on the very first song in the title is a word I can't even say on the air. So what do you think the odds are that the song itself might have that word in it? Thank you very much. Thank you very much for attempting to sabotage my radio future. No, I don't think I'm going to play that one. This one was playing in the background anyway, so... Yeah, this sounds safe. It's the Rambling Ambassadors. It's got a picture of a car. I think it's just, you know, the kind of music that people play when they're working on their cars or driving cars or things like that. This will get us through to the next show safely. I want to thank people for putting up with me for this past hour, as I was completely unprepared for anything that happened. Stay tuned for Fanny's coming up next. And we'll be back again next week with another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Hopefully I won't be all breathless and unprepared. You can write to us, and please do, because we like to get your letters, and we like to read them. Sometimes we like to laugh at them, sometimes we like to laugh with them. And you're welcome to laugh at us, point accusing fingers at us, throw things at us, whatever it is you feel like doing. It's a free country, at least for the next 30 days. Then something happens. Our email address, otw@2600.com. We'll be on again tomorrow for Off the Hook. That's on WBAI, and we have a fundraiser, an emergency fundraiser, so please show your support for that. Keep us on the air over there. Till next week, keep the faith, and stay free and all that good stuff. Good night.